So Hare Krishna, you are very fortunate because we have a torchlight. No, what I wanted to say is, we have been reading these verses for the last couple of days, and we have found great inspiration in our spiritual life from them. And I will read to you two verses today and explain them. They are taken out of a book called Utkalika Valari, A Vine of Intense Longing. And this work is the last work of Srila Rupa Goswami. In this book, he sits at the forest, or inside the forest of Vrindavan. He has gone there in the interior part of Vrindavan to be all alone, to express something to his Lord and his mistress, Sri Krishna, Sri Radhika, something which is for a long time on his heart. Now he feels that his life goes to an end, and he wants to express that what was on his heart for a long time in a beautiful prayer which translates as the vine of longing. You know, a vine is a plant which needs the support of a tree. So his desires or his longings need the support of Radha and Krishna to be fulfilled, and he is addressing in these verses Radha and Krishna with some beautiful meditations, which I will, two of them you will hear today. Sakshat Kritim Bhattayayo Namahatamopi Katamanasyapimanak Prabhutam Upaiti Ichanayam Nayanayo Patito Bhavanto Jantu Vijit Jani Jaga Rabiyam Riyam Cha. You may remember in the last verses, Rupa Goswami had asked for a darshan. Actually, let me see where we were. A direct darshan. He wanted to see the light from Sri Krishna's and Srimati Radharani's lotus toenails. That combined light, which has the radiance of millions of moons. He wanted to see that and experience how his eyes would be filled with wonder upon being illuminated by this light. So he was very, very eager for this darshan. Now he wants to have another darshan. He wants to see Radha and Krishna when they suddenly have the chance to meet. Antakita samikshano lalala sita ya mudasi nikonya bivana gane spurita golilang yo rucha prachura jantuvang purata jyotika manjari viraja daliram yayo mama chamat krititam. O Shri Radha Govinda, when you suddenly catch sight of each other in the garden, in front of the Nikunja, you will swell with joy and embrace each other with lavish affection. The meeting of your golden and blue forms looks like the meeting of a black bumblebee who sits on a golden jasmine bud and drinks the nectar of this jasmine bud. Let my eyes fill with wonder as I behold your two beautiful forms meeting. So because there was some distraction, and we like to always go where the distraction is, I will read it again. O Shri Shri Radha Govinda, when you suddenly catch sight of each other in the garden in front of the Nikunja, you swell with joy and embrace each other with lavish affection. You can imagine Radha and Krishna are in the forest of Vrindavan, and they suddenly meet in the garden in front of this bower house, this house which is made from trees and leaves, and their joy swells on like a ocean. They embrace each other. The meeting of your golden and blue forms looks like a black bumblebee sitting on a golden jasmine bud, drinking its nectar. Let my eyes fill with wonder as I behold your two beautiful forms meeting. Now, this describes a very beautiful scene. A daytime journey of Srimati Radharani. It's noon, the village is sleeping, and Srimati Radharani decides that she cannot bear the separation from Krishna any longer. And she starts to move out of the house onto the path. There's a sun on her head, which is very hot. It's noontime. The sun rays have scorched the road, the Srimati Radharani's lotus feet, which are so soft, are scorched by this tremendous heat which emanates from the road. The sky looks like a burning canopy of baldachin. It is always fire. It's so hot. But still, she goes to see Krishna. We know that Srimati Radharani's body is soft as butter. It's very delicate. Her feet are like lotuses. But she goes with her delicate body to meet Krishna. At that time, to protect her from being detected by the elders, a whirlwind, a dust storm, which is extremely hot, starts. I don't know if you have experience in Vrindavan when you have nothing in the ear, and this hot whirlwind come. It's so hot, it just burns the eardrums. It's called the loo. Krishna Priya, you are sleeping. Then I relaxed.
Like you
should
say, the hot wind is called the
loo. Yes, it's very hot. And there are thorns on the path and pebbles, but still she goes. Nothing, absolutely nothing keeps her from this abhisar. So all of a sudden she catches a fragrance in the air. And she becomes alert. Up till now her head was covered and she was protecting herself from this hot scenario around him. And in this hotness, a sweet fragrance comes, and she immediately detects the smell. It's musk, it's lotus, it's sandalwood, and it's aguro or aloe. We by now know who smells like this. Who? Because you know everything about it. It's Krishna. So Krishna sits in the forest on a platform made of jewels, which is surrounding a tamal tree. And he sits there, and he's totally absorbed in thoughts of Srimati Radharani. Suddenly, he hears the sound of tinkling anchor bells as Srimati Radharani has followed the fragrance of her beloved. She's now approaching very shyly. And as he sits there, he sees that the forest becomes lit up by a golden splendor. And then he sees his beloved Radha together with Rupa Manjari. So first the two look at each other, and their eyes are very unsteady because there is a storm of emotion raging in their hearts. But when their eyes become steady, they can look at each other, and the eyes lock into a loving stare. And then, although Radha is usually a little bit warm in the Vamya bath, with this little left wing, but after having overcome so many obstacles, she has only one thought: when can I embrace my beloved Krishna? And it is this embrace which Rupa Goswami wants to see. It looks like a black bumblebee which sits on a golden yasmin bud, drinking its nectar. It's a comparison. Krishna is the black bumblebee who is embracing the golden yasmin flower. It's a little bit like this champak. It belongs to the family of jasmine. So, and this way, Rupa Goswami wants to see this beautiful meeting. Or it looks as if a blue lotus meets the moon. Krishna. Baladev Vidyabhushan has written a beautiful commentary on this. May the beauty of your bodies fill my eyes with wonder. Where will this happen? Well, it will happen in front of the Nikunja. How do the two of you behave there? Well, you embrace each other most affectionately, surprised and overjoyed to see each other by chance. What do the two of you look like? Well, you look like two dazzling figures. One is gold and the other blue. Using a simile, Rupa Goswami describes the respective specialities of their forms. Your bodies look very charming together, like a black bumblebee sitting on a golden jasmine bud. Very charming. They look together. So this is a beautiful scene, you know. The bumblebee has finally found the golden jasmine bud, and They look very nicely together. So the next verse is a very important verse for us. We have just now been witness of a very confidential meeting of Radha and Krishna. In verse 34, that is the next verse, Rupa Goswami goes back into a lamentation over the lack of qualification which he feels he has. He thinks, O Shishi Radha Govinda, how astonishing it is that exalted devotees who are accomplished in all kinds of sadhana cannot catch even a momentary glimpse of you in the course of their meditation. You know, the greatest devotees, they may meditate and do their best. There is something like a Vaishnav yoga for meditation. Sanatan Goswami describes this in a prayer. It's quite complex, this Vaishnav yoga of meditation. Great sages do this, but they can't catch even a momentary glimpse of Radha and Govinda. I, on the other hand, says Rupa, even while plagued with a dull, evil mind, filled with unruly desires, long for you to appear on the pathway of my eyes. Alas, how is it that I'm not embarrassed? Have I lost all sense of shame and dignity? You know, great, great sages cannot achieve what I, who have so many disqualifications, want. They are self-controlled. Their minds are filled with shanti, but I have unruly desires which are just impossible, which don't belong there. And I want what they can't get. Am I not embarrassed? Have I lost all sense of shame and dignity? This he asked. There is a verse which says that great souls like Brahma, Shiva, Shuka, Narada, Bhishma cannot see the pastimes which Radha and Krishna have together. You know, Brahma, for instance, he had a momentary glimpse into Krishna's childhood pastimes, but he was not even qualified for these pastimes. You know, when he saw Lord Krishna sitting with his cowherd boyfriends on the bank of the river Jamuna, he thought, this can't be God, because Krishna sometimes steals food from the plate of his friends. This is not the activity of God. God doesn't have to steal food. So he was clearly bewildered and wanted to test if Krishna is really God by stealing his cowherd boyfriends and then seeing what will he do now. I'm sure he is impotent. He will just cry in the corner of Vrindavan. Everyone worships him as God, but I just steal his friend, and then he stands there under a tree crying. Look at me, how powerful I am. So Brahma was shown by Krishna how he is the origin of all Vishnu incarnations. We all know this pastime very well, because Krishna expended into Vishnu forms, and these Vishnu forms expanded into cowherd voice. And later, Brahma was shown how the cowherd voice which Krishna had manifested were actually coming from his Shakti, his Vishnu Shakti. Brahma fell on the ground and wetted the earth of Vrindavan with his tears of shame and pain and so on. So Brahma has a good understanding of many things, but not of Krishna and Vrindavan. Now imagine what would Brahma think if Krishna would be together with the gopis in the forest of Vrindavan. He would not understand that. He would not understand Radharani. There's no chance. Then there's Shiva. We all know that Shiva had heard about the Radha dance, but he was not permitted to enter the Radha dance because he would not be able to understand the Parakiya relationships between Radha and Krishna. And I have a surprise to you. This is because no male intelligence can understand how Radha and Krishna enjoy loving pastimes which have nothing to do with the sense enjoyment of this world. It's not the male intelligence cannot understand it. And I have a surprise to you. You all have male intelligence, also the women. It's the enjoyer's mentality. You cannot. It's not possible to understand this. It's you cannot enter. Shiva tried to enter the Rasa dance by changing his form. He took a bath. Where is the sarova? Mansarova. Outside of Vrindavan, and he came out with a female body, but he still could not give up the mentality of Shiva. And therefore, when he was shown to Radha and Krishna, you know, there were snakes coming out of the Zari. Imagine Rangini would come one morning to serve prasadam and two cobras would come from her shoulder. That would be Radha. When Radha saw this new gopi Shivani with the two snakes, she was like, who's this? And Krishna smiled, it's Shiva. He could exactly forget his mentality. He, don't worry, he will not be here in the Rasa dance area. He will guard the entrance of the Rasa dance. Even Shiva is Narada Muni and Bhishma. They may have some idea of Krishna's childhood pastimes, but not his Kaishor pastimes. In this Kaishor Leela, that is an adolescent Leela, only Krishna's Sakis can enter, the gopis, no one else. Therefore we read a beautiful verse. Let Krishna's parents and the elders stay away. Especially his friends should stay away. And the servants and all others should stay very much in the distance. They cannot come here at the gate of the Nikunja, where Radha and Krishna enjoy loving pastimes. Here I stand, the servant of Radharani, the Manjari servant. They only can enter this. Now, this is so confidential and so so amazing, these pastimes, that there is a song. If Gaura would not have come, Lord Chaitanya, who would ever have understood about Radha and Krishna's Leela? Who would have understood the forests of Vrindavan? It's very difficult to understand. When you're here in Vrindavan, you have to really pray for the mercy to be able to see, because you are a blind man walking in a palace of jewels. You can't see. Your vision sees dust and dirt and pigs and monkeys. Hare Krishna. Pray. Get down on your belly and roll in the dust and pray for some milas. Milas means mercy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said that there are four types of lovers of Krishna. One is the ordinary devotees. They have atomic love for Krishna. Atomic means, you know, there are how many atoms are in this? I think a few billion atoms are in this. No? Billion. Can we count the atoms which are in here? Nikonja, you are science. You have learned, no, physics. You have not learned, not physics. Organizational management. Yeah. I don't know. There are. An atom is inconceivable small. So we have inconceivable small love for Radha and Krishna, the ordinary devotees. It's inconceivable small. Devotees like Radha Muni have a greater or lesser amount of love for Krishna. The bridge basis, they have a lot of love, but Radharani has most love. And she, with her sakis, can be together with Krishna. Krishna reveals himself to Radha only, and to Krishna and to sakis only. Then he is most free. I think it is very good for us to hear this from time to time, so that we are not carried away into the understanding that, oh, we are great Radha Krishna lovers here. We are hopefully great beggars. Hopefully. You know, it's Krishna will only reveal himself in his Madhurya aspect, the sweet aspect, which is the speciality of Vrindavan. In the company of the Sakis, of which Radha is the foremost. So to get to this stage, we must learn to fill our mind with the remembrance of Krishna. A little while ago, we have asked the question, how can we get affection for Krishna? Huh? And I said this is a very difficult question to answer. And this morning I read something of Jiva Goswami, who said, only if you start to remember Krishna will you get faith of Krishna and of Radha Krishna and affection for Krishna. You must start to practice remembering or thinking of Radha and Krishna. When you hear about Radha and Krishna, you feel, wow, this is wonderful. And some faith starts and some affection. It's very important in this age of in which we live, to hear regularly of Radha Krishna. And there is no better source of information than the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, the mind must learn to remember Radha Krishna, otherwise it is dead. And the jackals and dogs of lust and anger can play in that mind, in the dead mind. You know, when once Krishna took pleasure drive with his chariot, with Arjuna, and they came to the banks of the Yamuna, and there was a dead body lying. So around the dead body a jackal was there, and the jackal was sniffing first the hand, then the ears, then the jackal was sniffing the feet. Jackal, how do we say jackal in Russian language? Chakal, yes, chakal. Now Krishna asked the jackal, you're sniffing but you're not eating. No, said the jackal, this is beyond me. I'm just sniffing. If this human being has ever done some service with his hands, but he has not. I'm sniffing his ears, if he has ever heard Krishna Katha, but he has not. I'm sniffing his feet to find out if he has ever gone on sacred pilgrimage, but he has not. And such a person, I don't eat. This is really too much, you know. I will not. I have some dignity, you know. I have some dignity to me. But, you know, we know that this jackal was an extraordinary great soul. You know, he was not an ordinary jackal. The ordinary jackals and dogs come when there is a dead body. They come and they eat. So when the mind is dead, it doesn't think of Krishna, but thinks of worries, thinks of fault finding things, then it's dead, and the jackals of lust and anger come there and play and eat the mind away. Maybe you have some experience of this. Better don't nod your head, it's such a holy place, but I think we all know what we are talking about. You know, if you want to start your Krishna consciousness in seriousness, you must learn this one point, that while you're doing sadhana, you must learn to think of the goal of your sadhana, of your spiritual practice. It's very important. This starts in a way with attention. A little while ago I got a jewel from Gaurahari. We were just briefly talking, and he said he picked up a nice method from one lecture by one devotee called Vyasaki, how to concentrate the mind when chanting. And what Vyasaki said is, at the beginning of each round he makes a very determined endeavor to listen to at least one Hare Krishna mantra with full concentration. He really practices almost Vaishnava concentration yoga and so on. So Gaurahari thought, I'm better than Vyasaki. I will try for 10 mantras. you know, we know Gaurari is not always most humble, although he looks. But I think this process is very, very good. And I have told some of you to try for 5 mantras. It's good to focus on and bring this spiritual sound vibration in there. And you will see, once you have brought it in by force, then the vibration or the mantra will stay in your heart and will resonate there. I mean, it doesn't work always, but many times it's like this. There is in Krishna Leela, there is a Brahman for this, a proof for this. You remember the Agasura demon swallowed Krishna by force. And Krishna stayed in the throat of the Agasura demon. And then, just by swallowing Krishna by force, the Agasura demon became liberated. When Krishna left the body of Agasura, Agasura saw Krishna and entered the body of Krishna. So the Vaishnava commentators, you can find that in Sharad Darshini, say that even if someone only meditates about Krishna by force, if it's an effort, in other words, something which is not a spontaneous remembrance, but it is a directed remembrance. By the way, this is called smaran, where you direct your mind to think of Krishna. Even though you do this with some effort, by reading or by listening to a lecture or by chanting in the way of which we have heard, you know, the Krishna will come into your mind, and as a result of this, you will definitely start to think of Krishna. It's very, very important, because have you noticed after so many years how sometimes lust is in your mind? Have you noticed that? No one needs to nod their heads. Or have you noticed how anger all of a sudden is there, and you feel like, well, what happened? Why am I so angry? You know, you feel like that. That is because your mind is dead. You have a dead mind, and the Jekyll and dogs come. They look for this.
But anger comes from high blood pressure also.
High blood pressure is also there. Especially in Mumbai, yes. yes, that's good. That is called Rajagun, mode of passion, yes. And then, the high blood pressure. Yeah. Then we must drink some cool coconut water. So this is very important to bring the mind alive. We in our small little group of Govardhan Parikramis, we always talk about how our mind says, no, you can't do this, it doesn't work. But all of a sudden some Krishna conscious thought comes, and then it's the most easiest in the world to do this, to do the parikrama. It's the mind can give life or it can give death. It can say possible or impossible, and then it's possible or impossible, as you think. So Rupa Goswami, I like this very, very much. He feels, yes, I know I'm disqualified. I'm not like the exalted devotees who were accomplished in all kinds of sadhana. I know this. I'm plagued with a dull and evil mind, with unruly desires. But what can I do? He expresses himself later. You are so wonderful. I have to think of you. No? Here's a commentary which I will read to you. Rupa Goswami uses the word bhata, which indicates astonishment. By having the direct darshan of the Supreme Controller, Shri Radha Krishna, one experiences sladini, the phenomenon of true pure ecstasy. So Rupa says, high class saints who are accomplished in all kinds of sadhana are not able to see you in their minds, even briefly. I, on the other hand, burdened by a gross body and senses and troubled by abominable desires, hanker to see you directly with my own eyes. Acknowledging my lack of qualification, I swallow all my pride now and unabashedly, that means without shame, present my request to you without fear or shame. I like this in bhakti. The bhakta is not, his main quality is humility. It's not that he is always the most accomplished in so many ways. Rupa Goswami gives us the example. He says, I have no, this is Sanatana Goswami, I have no, wait a minute, no good sadhana, I have no meditation, I have no qualities in the Varnashram system. I don't have a good birth. I just can't concentrate myself. But still, I have this desire. And this desire is giving me pain, sweet pain. The Krishna consciousness is bringing, importing the right desire into your mind. And then everything and more is possible. So you start practicing this in the times of your sadhana. When you sit down and you know, this is now my time with Giriraj. This is my time with Krishna. I will pray to them. This is my time with Radharani, that they should please accept me. But if your mind remains dead while you chant Rangini, and Raga Devi, if the mind remains dead while you chant, then so many material things will play there. They will be attracted there, and it will be just one Bollywood show in the mind, without any decency and cultural value, just anger and lust and everything else. We just go on with full strength. Hare Krishna. I must say, when I take out different persons, and I'm just doing this to put some electricity in the crowd, so that they will be on their seats. My God, what if I'm called the next person? What will Sachinanda Swami say about me? Oops. And then you will be very attentive to listen to each sentence, because it might be about you. Hare Krishna. It's a very good, it's a very good prayer book. It has very deep, deep thoughts. And this section ends with this. Atavamankin nudushanam pata brindavan shakravatino yuvayoguna madurinava janamunmande jatita kamnava. Am I at fault in making such a request? Is something wrong with me? O Master and Mistress of Vrindavan, Shri Krishna and Shri Radha, who would not be driven mad by your ever fresh sweetness? By drinking the honey liquor, of the sweetness of your qualities, I have become so intoxicated that I have dared to offer such prayers. You know, once a drunken man came to the house of the, to the palace of the king, and saw the princess, and fell in love, and wanted to go to the princess and ask the princess to marry him. Everyone's but she could not. He could not even be close to the princess, because princess, you could only see them from 50 meters. So he came home. He became sober again. But what could he do? His wife asked him, "Is something troubling you, my dear husband?" "Nothing is troubling me," this man said, "nothing," and fell sick for 2 weeks. Sick with this desire to be with the princess. Then the wife said, "Something is wrong with you." And he said, "Well, I drank and I saw the princess and I just can only think of her. If I could just see her one more time." So his wife was the toilet cleaner of the palace. So she said, "Well, you can go instead of me. You can clean the toilets. And then when you are ready, you can just stay very humbly in the corner, and maybe the princess will walk to the toilet and you can see her for 20 seconds. So he stood there and saw the princess for 20 seconds. And then she went and she came back. So 40 seconds. Then he was not yet cured. So the princess was informed, "There's this drunken man, this man who sometimes drinks and who has fallen in love with you and wants to marry you." The princess said, "How is it possible? He's from the caste of the toilet cleaners. I can't, you know, this is not done." But she said, because she was a good person, "He can come every Thursday when the royal family gives alms to the beggars. And he can sit there and I will give maybe a banana or something in his bowl." And this is what the man did, and he became happy like this. So Rupa Goswami expresses here something. He expresses, "I'm helpless. almost like this man who is intoxicated. He said, I'm intoxicated by the liquor of your sweetness, and I have these impossible desires to have your darshan. It's not my fault. It's the quality of your sweetness. So, but what I want to say with this example is, when even a royal princess is so much moved to see the eagerness of a man who has has developed some affection, and takes care of it in some ways, so that on Thursday the man could just receive a few alms. Then what will Radha be like? We are also very hopeless. We are drunken. We are from the caste of toilet sweepers, these Westerners. But if we have that good desire by hearing such good prayers, then one day maybe our beloved queen will show some mercy to us. But it's important that during the sadhana we learn to focus our mind on these things. We should not think about worldly things. What the Goswamis did is to focus their minds during sadhana. They wrote these ashtakams. Have you heard about these prayers? The ashtakams? Govardhan ashtakam, Radha Kunda ashtakam. And these ashtakams can be sometimes chanted and focused. They focus our mind to where we are and to what's going on. These are helps. So we are one day before Diwali, and time is also there. We have finished for today. We will now put Utkalika Balari to rest, and tomorrow evening we will wake up the book again and see there are new treasures and new inspirations for our Krishna conscious life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.